If health professionals wash their hands before and after seeing patients, the rate of hospital-acquired infections, resistant organisms, and even deaths falls significantly. But despite that, and while hand-washing rates have improved, they have a long way to go. And a particularly delinquent group is doctors. Could personality profiling improve the extent to which doctors wash their hands or rub them in alcohol before seeing patients? A research team decided to take a leaf out of the marketing handbook to see if they could do better with doctors. One of the study's leaders was Professor Lindsay Grayson, who's Director of Infectious Disease at Austin Health in Melbourne and Director of Hand Hygiene Australia.
You know, you can go to a meeting of bureaucrats and they'll say, why aren't those grubby doctors washing their hands? More or less to imply that doctors don't care. Well, as a doctor, I know that's not true. You know, my colleagues work very hard. The worst criticism you could ever make of them was that they didn't care and that they're lazy. That standard comment didn't at all ring true. And I was at a conference one day and an advertising person there said, well, you know, don't be an idiot. If you were trying to sell a Volvo to a nurse and you were trying to also sell it to a doctor, would you use the same advertising strategy? Well, of course you wouldn't. There'd be a difference. So I thought, well, that's interesting. You know, there are all these so-called market segmentation based on personality profiling out in the rest of the community. Why don't we see whether that might give us some insights into the differences of behaviour between the different types of healthcare workers in the Australian community.
So you used a commercially available personality inventory tool. How reliable is that?
There are lots of different personality profiling. This was a bit different because it merged the profiling tool, which characterises all of our personalities or mindsets, into 16 categories, but also then cross-correlated that with about 30 years of marketing research. And so the database is actually, they combined data from the last Australian census and cross sort of linked that with 30 years of research to come up with this profiling tool.
So unlike most stories on the health report, we talk about randomised controlled trials. Here you're talking about something much more important. Does it translate into people selling stuff and making money? And the answer is presumably yes.
Oh, absolutely. I thought it was all nonsense. Then I did one of these profilings, and I would add that mine was rather unique, evidently.
Of course.
But yes, of course, yeah. But actually not as unique as you would think, because Charles, who worked with us on this project, then I said, okay, fancy pants, you know, you tell me what car I own. And he said, well, it's going to be either a Holden or a Ford. It'll be a station wagon. It'll either be silver or white. And it was a white Commodore station wagon. And our infection control nurse at the time, who considered herself very individualistic, and he said, well, you're going to have a sports car. It won't be a real one, but it's sure to be red. And sure enough, she had a Ford Capri red sports car. So we're not as different as we think, and this can be predicted. We all have personalities that don't change throughout our life, but our mindset.
And you being an infectious changes. Disease specialist will be obsessive compulsive.
Well, absolutely. I'm a total anal retentive, you know, and that's a good feature of someone who wants to do my job. And I always think of the negative rather than the positive, because all I see is bad things usually. So
tell me what you did in this study.
We thought, well, why not for the first time survey a whole lot of healthcare workers and see whether there are differences between their personalities based on whether they're doctors, nurses, cleaners, clerks and so forth. And the initial thought was we'll just do surveys on them. And then but instead, actually, Charles said, well, you know, we can do that, but I bet that if you just give me six very basic non-identifying bits of information from the human resources database from a whole lot of hospitals, I can pretty much predict just with those six features what their personalities are likely to be like, and then we could correlate them with their actual surveys and see how close the two match. And this really opened up a whole new...
And what were the six items?
Gender, your age, what postcode you live in, whether you're full-time or part-time, because in Australia there are eight standard healthcare worker categories, you know, the three sorts of doctors, you know, full-timers, part-timers, training staff, and then nurses, physiotherapists, allied health staff, then cleaners and
clerks. So you compared that very simplistic view with the full survey when you actually administered the whole personality profile.
There were four urban hospitals and one regional hospital, so just over 34,000 healthcare workers. And then we went to each of those five hospitals and called for volunteers to actually fill in a survey, and they then got their personality profile emailed back. So we got just over 1,000 out of the 34,000 filled in the survey, and we were able to correlate the accuracy of those two assessments. And in fact, they were remarkably similar.
So to summarise really, where you're at there is that a hospital could, by just analysing six or seven pieces of information in general, work out personality types or sort of predicted mindsets of their staff.
Correct. And so this opens up the opportunity of not just for infectious disease and infection control things that I'm interested in, but also lots of other initiatives within healthcare that you can personalise the message.
Now, your results seem to suggest that people's mindset changed as they progressed through their careers.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, when you're a junior doctor and you're training, you're focused on the future and you're worried about whether you're going to achieve your future, and then that evolves into a career, and then you become more established in your career. And of course, as you age and then you get grandchildren and so forth, you become more philosophical and looking backwards in life, if you like, and what you've achieved, but also very aware of what your grandchildren's future is going to be like. And so your personality stays pretty similar during that time, but the way in which your personality is expressed, your so-called mindset, does change, and the way to market to each of those segments of your life is slightly different.
So knowing what you know now, if you were to change the messaging to get doctors to wash their hands better or rub their hands in alcohol in between seeing patients, what would be the messaging for the various groups in the medical profession, given they're the delinquents, if you like?
Depends. Up until now, we've been encouraging people to alcohol rub their hands because you'll improve healthcare, reduce infections and so forth. You know, every 50 times you alcohol rub your hands, you'll save a life. Whereas if you said that to a doctor, they'd say, don't be ridiculous. There's not a single study that shows that. And of course there isn't. But we do know that as we've improved the rates of alcohol hand rub compliance, that the rates of golden staff infections have dropped dramatically. So broadly speaking, it's true. So the sort of difference in messaging would be for nurses, you know, you'd say every time you hand hygiene, it shows you care. Whereas for medical staff in general, it'd be hand hygiene appropriately, you know it's right. On the other hand, for a cleaner, they like following rules. So it'd be, you know when to hand hygiene, so just do it. Whereas if you said to medical staff, just do it, they'd say, go jump the lake. On the other hand, the more interesting thing to me is, you know, there's very, very clear differences in the personality of full-time hospital specialists who are largely income secure. They're driven by data. They've usually got a higher degree, you know, a PhD or something like that. And so for them, it'd be, you know, the benefits of good hand hygiene and preventing hospital-acquired infections are indisputable. That would be a good strap line or advertising message. Whereas part-timers, those who've got a big private practice, appealing to their sense of, well, if you hand hygiene, people will think better of you, that's not really going to work because they already know they're pretty good. Something we've never done before is actually to say, well, gee, if you don't hand hygiene, people might think worse of you. Your reputation might suffer. Whereas, say, the intern or registrar, it would be realise your potential, perform good hand hygiene, or don't wreck your future career by striking out on hand hygiene. So you can see the messages essentially the same, but the way in which we deliver it is subtly different.
And have you tried it out?
Of course, this has. Well, we're just about to do that. It's an important thing, and it's made a big difference. At my hospital, for instance, in 2001, when we first started with alcohol rub, we had 62 bloodstream infections that year, and last year we had 6. And the only thing that we've done in a concerted way has been the introduction of alcohol-based hand rub and ensuring improved compliance.
So get washing those hands for whatever your personality profile might show. Professor Lindsay Grayson, who's Director of Infectious Disease at Austin Health in Melbourne and is Director of Hand Hygiene Australia.